Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Herculean Physique. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight the Age of Heroes has dawned and the quest for optimal wellness continues right here tonight with Ryan Foley. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you today?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. I'm priming myself to start the Lion Diet on May 1st. So I've made a lot of dietary changes, and I'm feeling great.
So what does the Lion Diet consist of?
The Lion Diet is basically a version of the carnivore diet, but it's much more strict. And for the while that you're on it, and they don't suggest you stay on it forever, although some people seem to from my research, it's you eat beef, deer, elk, you know, animals like that that have several stomachs. And you drink water and you have salt. And that's basically it.
And so so what is the goal with the diet? Are you looking to lean up or are you looking to build muscle?
Both. It's a form of elimination diet, and it's meant to identify allergens. So like any elimination diet, you basically go on it for a while. It cleans your system out. You see how you feel, and then you slowly start introducing other things into your diet and see how you react to their introduction. And then if something's fine, you keep it. And if something's not fine, you don't take it anymore. And it's a process of fine-tuning. So you stay on whatever you're doing, see how it works. And if, again, you're finding you're having problems, you go on the strict diet again and then start over until you get your diet right.
And so you're planning on doing this for, you said a month?
I originally committed to a week, but from my research, it seems like for the benefits to really become apparent, it takes around a month. So I suspect I'll be a month. Everyone who extends it says you could extend it for 2 months. Some people have done it longer. The people who recommend 2 months are concerned about deficiencies because it's a pretty limited diet. So they recommend that you don't do it for more than 2 months. So I'll see how I go. I'm not interested in becoming a Lion Diet aficionado or proponent. I just want to address some of the autoimmune diseases like diabetes that I have. And so far, anecdotally,
sure,
there aren't that many studies, but anecdotally, this seems to work really well with diabetes and other autoimmune disorders. So that's the primary reason why I've chosen to do that.
And so since the last time that we've talked, how's your spine doing?
It only really hurts in one spot where there's like a herniation and there's arthritis and there's stenosis all in the lower part of my spine kind of like right where my pelvis would be, you know, in the back.
Okay.
And there I'm still in considerable pain, although it's more manageable than before. And because of the pain, I wind up becoming stiff. So I've been doing stretching exercises and other lower back exercises. And I've been doing core exercises. And that's the only place I really have the pain. Everything else is minor or manageable. So,
good. I'm definitely glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too. So how are you? And I see what exciting things you have planned for tonight, and I'm really looking forward to them.
Good. And things are going well here, actually. Yeah, I'm doing really well. One quick aside, this is not nearly as bad as it sounds, but just for full disclosure, just yesterday I went through and pulled something in my abs, kind of up near my intercostals. And you don't realize how what muscles that you use in the event that you have to sneeze. So I'm learning that quickly the hard way. And so if there's a thing where I think show health is going to kick in here and we'll be fine, even though the pollen count is really high right now. But if I mute myself it's only because I don't want people to have to hear the sneeze and then the abject scream that comes with it afterwards. it recedes very quickly, but it's that little knife stab that goes through because I've went through it and pulled this muscle. But really, everything is really good.
Good.
I'm finding myself in a really good and strong place, but at the same time, there's a couple of things that I want to address tonight for people, and it's going to be two bad things, but then we're going to spin it, and we're going to go positive in this last third that I want to talk about. So one of the things that I always want people to know, and you use the term allegorical. I know a lot of times that has a bit of a negative connotation to it, but I think whenever it's you and I talking here, allegorical is just where we're explaining this is what we have discovered while we're right. on our journey. So the phrase that I like to use is that I will never tell you anything that's false, but not everything that I say may turn out to be true. Just because you may go through and you may try to attempt something, and you may get a little bit of a different version as opposed to what happened to me. But more than anything, what I want is for people to be healthy. And so I do understand that obesity is not good. You know, it has a host of health problems in and of itself. And but at the same time, I think people can end up being obsessed with the wrong numbers. I did experience this today on Facebook where a young lady was complaining. Where she wanted to go through and she wanted to lift weights, but at the same time, she didn't want to see the numbers on the scale go up. And I explained to her that if she was to go through and lift weights, the numbers are going to go up.
Yeah.
But it's more important to focus on your body composition. That's much more important. I mean, if someone could come along and grant me access to a magic genie, and the genie says, listen, I can give you 4% body fat, but you're going to weigh 265 pounds, or I can make you 199 pounds, but you're going to have 30% body fat. Well, I would take the 265 and the 4% body fat every single time. You know, so I think a lot of people, they get so obsessed with that scale. And I think that's kind of one of those things that you need to throw out, because I know people who weigh substantially less than me, but they don't move in the same way that I do. And it has to be because of the weights that I've been lifting. And so I want people to be healthy, both, physically, mentally, socially, emotionally. And there was a recent article in Fortune.com where researchers compared each state's ratio of psychologists to residents, the average number of mental health days that are taken, the prevalence of mental illness in adults and youth, and the number of beds available in mental health facilities. And then they factored in the cost of prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So the three best states that you could live in were Montana, Vermont, and Massachusetts. And the worst states to live in for mental health was Nevada, Oregon, and number three was Oklahoma. For new listeners, that's where I live. I'm in Oklahoma. And so mental health is a huge issue here where I live. And so, you know, back when my mom passed away in 2005, and then when I went through my divorce from 2010 to 2012, my dad wanted me to go to therapy. But, we're friends on here. Everyone on here, we're all friends. So I'll be the first to admit, I'm low income. And so the joke that I always say, you know, low-income people, we can't afford therapy. So I would joke and say, well, instead we drink. But I've never really been a big drinker. So for me, everything changed in 2014 when I rediscovered working out. And it's been my therapy ever since. I've worked out a little bit in high school. Whenever I was playing football, I worked out a little bit in college. But I didn't have nearly the plan and the lifting techniques that I use today. And so everything that I've done, it's been kind of a journey of self-discovery, but also I'm figuring things out for my own.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really happy whenever you let me come on here and talk about my journey. because what I want to do is I want people to stay on the right path. And so I want people to have a journey that was much shorter than mine. And so that's what I try to do whenever I come on here. And so the important thing that I need to stress to people is that the only person you're competing with is yourself. It is
right.
The you from yesterday. That's who you're competing against, because there's always going to be someone stronger, faster, slimmer, someone that has less body fat than you. But we also don't know their whole story. So it's okay to use people as motivation. And I know that you and I have talked in the past about your statuary and the pictures that you keep around your home that inspires you to go out and to go on this journey that you're on. And that is all perfectly fine. It's absolutely fantastic. For me, I look at the body of work, pun intended, I look at the body of work of someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger, a lot of the film stars that we have out there today, and the athletes that are in the WWE. And so that's inspiring to me, but it can be somewhat defeating if you're going through and you're comparing yourself to these people.
Right.
And so with this new era that the WWE is coming into, the old guard is kind of getting replaced and this new era is coming in. And so we see these athletes who week after week continue to show up and show out. And you're just like, my goodness, how do they maintain this form week after week after week? And well, so the answer is because it's their job. It's their
right.
job. They're professional athletes. They have access to, you know, probably all the best trainers, the best nutritionists. One of my personal favorites is a gentleman by the name of Bobby Lashley, who's 47 years old. He's got a listed weight of 273 pounds, and he probably has the best proportions that I've seen since Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so it kind of like somewhere along the way, like, I don't know how Hugh Hefner, the guy who started Playboy, was given the keys to the kingdom to decide, you know, what was attractive. And so I bet if you did like a data analysis of all the various playmates of the month, you know, 8 out of the 12 of those probably had the same proportions and blonde hair as all of his three girlfriends. And so I don't know how he was able to be the trendsetter to decide, okay, this is what this is. And so a lot of people aspired to be that, but we didn't understand why. Well, why was this considered to be beautiful? Why was this considered to be sexy? And then going back to the whole wrestling thing, now we're starting to see a wider variety of the different body types of these professional wrestlers that are out there. And so this is where, you know, so the first question that you always kind of want to ask yourself is, you know, well, this guy has a better body or this girl has a better body. Well, what constitutes better? And so that's the question that we have to ask for ourselves. And even Schwarzenegger recently commented on his podcast about falling into these traps of comparisons. You know, these are people that they're paid to work out and eat well. They might have a chef and a trainer from the studio, and the curtain is kind of starting to be pulled back where they go through and, you know, they're revealing that people are dehydrating themselves. Then they come along and they're getting professional spray tans and makeup.
Right.
And so, they have dumbbells and bands, and so they're getting a pump right before filming. So as Arnold said, it's all a ton of movie magic. And then just earlier today, I came across one of my TikTok fitness influencers, I guess is kind of what they're called. And some of them are absolute garbage, but this one guy, his name's Ben Carpenter. I do really like his stuff that he puts out, because he went through and he had various lighting setups and he was controlling it all through his phone. So right there live in real time, he was changing the way that he was lighting himself for this TikTok video. And you could see the dramatic change. But the issue is that if you're only looking at Instagram or, you know, TikTok and you're seeing all these people and you're seeing, oh, well, this is what proper fitness is supposed to look like, and then you're comparing yourself to someone who has, you know, has the professional makeup and has the professional lighting, doing the little tricks of the trade that they have in order to make themselves look better, you can really start to develop self-esteem issues. And that's, I don't want people to have that. So it's one thing for me to come on here and talk about it, because this is me coming in saying, I know the rules. I know how it works. I know how it's done. And then here a couple of weeks ago, I watched The Iron Claw. By any chance, have you seen this movie with Zac Efron?
I don't think so. If you tell me a little bit about the plot, I might have seen it.
Okay, it's relatively new. It just came out in December of last year. It just showed up on DVD, and it's the story of the Von Erich family, the wrestlers from the 1980s.
Okay. No, I haven't seen it.
It's a very well done movie. It's a little independent movie, and so it stars Zac Efron. And full disclosure, I knew very little about Zac Efron, and in fact, I had to go through and look at his filmography, and I had only seen two movies prior, one of which was Neighbors in 2014, and the new movie that just came out, which I mainly watched because John Cena was in it, called Ricky Stenicki. High School Musical missed me. I think that's where he really made his, that's where he really became famous. So he's always been in shape. And so he went through a transformation to become Kevin Von Erich, which is phenomenal. You see him, and especially when you compare the pictures from 10 years ago to how he looked while he was training for that movie, it doesn't look like the same person. So he's all of 36 years old. He's always been in shape. And I saw him in that movie. And I was just like, oh, man, I will never look like that. So I instantly had to stop myself, because I'm going, holy cow, I'm falling back into the trap, even though I know the rules. So I wanted to come in here and talk about the dangers of that. And so I wanted to be educated. So I went through and started digging more into Mr. Efron's career. And so one of the big movies that he was in, he played a lifeguard in the 2017 movie Baywatch. That's the one that starred The Rock. I never saw it just because it really didn't seem like my type of movie. But in order to prepare for this movie where he was going to be running around shirtless the whole time, he started overtraining and he started using diuretics. And so he said the process led him into a very steep depression. And so the problem was that he would be up. Say they go through and they shoot until midnight. And then he would be up at 4 a.m. in order to train. And so he basically said, I've got his quote here where he was, because he found out the hard way that he was sacrificing his real health for a look on camera. And so he came out in an interview and he said, and this is his quote, "That Baywatch look, I don't know if that's really attainable. There is just too little water in the skin." He said it looked CGI, and that required Lasix, a powerful diuretic to achieve. "So I don't need to do that. I much prefer to have an extra 2 or 3% body fat."
Right.
So I started looking into this to figure out what this was, so because I really didn't know. And so the description that I have here, it comes from the Mayo Clinic. And so the Mayo Clinic says that diuretics are medicines that help reduce fluid buildup in the body. They're sometimes called water pills, and most diuretics help the kidneys remove salt and water through the urine. The lower the amount of fluid flowing through the veins and arteries this lowers the amount of fluid flowing through the veins and arteries, and as a result, the blood pressure goes down. So you're just urinating out all your excess water. And so by going through and doing that, you're going to be borderline dehydrated if you're doing it too much, too excessively. And so then you can end up running into real problems. So as I'm digging around to this, I said, well, now, wait a minute, because I drink a ton of water. I drink it by the bottle. That's never an issue for me. But then I also use a supplement called creatine. So creatine monohydrate, what it does is it redirects fluids into the muscles. It's osmotically activated. So what that means, so it pulls water into the muscles, and because of this temporary water retention, it can cause you to gain weight. And so that's kind of where people can freak out a little bit. But so mainly what it's designed for is the water retention helps improve the body temperature regulation during exercise. And so it stimulates muscle growth through protein synthesis. So it can help you create lean muscle mass, it promotes muscle growth, and it increases your power output. And so they're saying it's like five grams of creatine monohydrate is great for muscles, but now they're doing studies and they're showing that 10 grams of creatine monohydrate has proven to be good for your mind. So it helps you ward off the degenerative disease. That's a new one. So I've kind of been upping my creatine a little bit to kind of balance this out. So they're saying 10 grams is good. And creatine, so they just have study after study saying how good this stuff is. And you can buy it at Walmart. So right. I think anything that you can buy at Walmart, you're going to be pretty safe. They're not going to compare it to steroids. But so if diuretics remove excess water from the bloodstream, and it reduces pressure on the vein walls, but then you've got the creatine monohydrate, which is directing water into your muscles. So I went through and started doing more research, and yes, if you take creatine and diuretics simultaneously, you can increase the risk of dehydration and kidney damage. So if you are take one or the other, but as always, talk to your healthcare provider first, but don't take creatine and diuretics at the same time. So I'm not saying that's what Zac Efron was doing, but just like that's a really good warning to put out there that more and more people need to talk about it. But so beyond taking just the diuretics, he's overtraining. He's eating the same meals every day. He wasn't sleeping enough. And I know we've talked about how important sleep is. And so as a result, he was excited about the movie. He thought it would be a fun action franchise. He liked his character, but the recovery just walloped him. And so in one of the interviews, he said he didn't want to sound like he was complaining, but he was opening up about people trying to obtain this Baywatch body, knowing how devastating that process was for him. And the ill effects of his training, you know, just lasted with him. He said it took almost up to 6 months after the film wrapped for him to finally start feeling right again. And in fact, so after the filming wrapped, he went and he took a break from acting and decided to get out of shape for the first time in his life. And so ironically, what he thought was just going to be a dream and how he thought, oh, this is going to be fantastic. I could just eat whatever I want. And so he tried it, and he admitted he was successful. He got out of shape. But for all the reasons that he thought it was going to be incredible, he was just miserable. And so he didn't feel healthy. He didn't feel alive. He felt bogged down and slow. And so as a result, I can see why this is why we've continued to go through it and do our journey, because we don't want to get that bogged down feeling again.
No.
So we fast forward now, and so he starts preparing to film the Iron Claw. And so just to show you, how long like the process can take, and especially if you go through and you look at the pictures of him online, you can really tell. So he packed on about 15 pounds of muscle. This took place over the course of about 8 months. And so he stopped doing his vegan diet, so he went back to consuming meat. And so he said, except for the moral part, he was actually really happy to start eating meat again. He got really big into organ meats. And so liver and onions was his absolute favorite. He did mention that he was eating elk. So there we go. So it's calling back to, to your lion diet. But so essentially what he was doing is he was eating two meat heavy meals and then doing intermittent fasting. And so he trained for 8 months, working out for hours a day. He put on 15 pounds of muscle. He was a real big advocate of volume training, old school bodybuilding, Olympic lifting, because But he said trying to achieve the look of a pro wrestler was very hard. It was harder than what he did for Baywatch. And after everything that went wrong with Baywatch, he said he had to ask the right questions. You know, so he really got in with the right trainers who were taking care of him. But then he's going through and he's beating himself up. And so the delayed onset muscle soreness, which we have all experienced, man, it is a nightmare. And so during this preparation, you know, he's trying to go through and manage that, but he's not being super social. He's really withdrawing from everything and just taking care of himself. Then he goes through and he's shooting these wrestling matches, which are anywhere from 7 to 15 minutes long. And so, again, when these actors go through, we want to see the actors doing it. We don't want to switch to the wide, you know, lens where you can tell, oh, this is where they swapped in a body double or a stunt double. And so it's really him doing this. And so, of course, they have wrestlers that are there on the set, and they're like, you know, dude, we only do this like two nights a week, and here he is doing it just over and over and over again. But by going through and doing this, he had an end date circled on the calendar. And so the principal photography for that movie lasted for 6 weeks back in October of 2022. So he had his window. So he knew I only need to hold on to all this muscle and all this for a very short amount of time. And then it's all the magic, the movie magic that, you know, gets put in there for him to look the way that he does. But again, I found myself in this hole. I got caught in the trap of comparison. So this is me saying, as someone who understands, you know, the tricks that they're using, I had to stay vigilant because they almost got me. And so for someone else who's maybe just getting started or, you know, wanting to head down this road, this is where I just have to advise you, please don't do this. It's so bad for you mentally. So it's more important to come at it from a healthy point of view and to use these people as motivation to say, oh, man, it's okay to use them as motivation, but don't use them for comparison, because that way lies matter. You know, so really try to stay away from that if you absolutely can.
That's very true. And I was thinking of that today in the past few days. I name an inspiration every month in some of my groups, and mostly it's sword and sandal heroes, but sometimes it isn't. And I decided that next month it would be Lou Ferrigno. Now, I think Lou Ferrigno looks amazing. Looks like the ideal physique if you're looking for that type of physique, and it's
right,
still
right
within the classic bodybuilding physique, even though it's an extreme of it. It's kind of like Reg Park taken to the next level, and I'm never going to have a body like that because I'm not spreading negativity. It's just that I don't have enough life left to put the work that Ferrigno put into it. So it's very unlikely that it'll look like that. But still, he inspired me with other things. He's had a very difficult and challenging life because of his hearing problems. And he had persistence and he had determination, and he overcame his obstacles and he became a pop culture icon and started spreading awareness about people that have disabilities and so forth. So there's a lot to admire there. So because of those reasons, he's my inspiration for next month. But I fell into that too, looking at the physique of some bodybuilders and sword and sandals stars and saying, you know, I got to look like that. And it's like, no, it's not likely to happen. But I don't often fall into the trap like you do, but I occasionally do fall into it.
And so that's where, you do have to be really careful. And so it's just a little bit of a spinoff from that, because I will scream from the mountaintops my philosophy that bodybuilding makes you a better all-around person. And one of the things that drew me to bodybuilding and has kept me doing it after all this time is the joy that comes from the accomplishment. To go through and say, this is the most I've ever lifted, this, you know, or the most times that I've ever lifted this certain weight, it's absolutely fantastic. And so, unfortunately, that's not the world that we live in. And I noticed this the other day. I was literally on my way to the gym on Sunday, and I drove past an urgent Medicare or urgent care medical facility. And so it has one of those video billboards and their signs out front. So it has the motion, and it's a big giant video screen. And so there's a woman on the screen. She's wearing a bare midriff athletic outfit, like a sports bra and yoga pants combination. And she's doing a Russian kettlebell swing. So for the listeners, shout out to your and I's conversation last month about the Russian kettlebell swings. And so it's on there, so she's on one side of the screen, and then the advertisement on the other, it said something to the effect of no crazy workouts to lose weight. And then it was whatever the brand name is for this weight loss shot. And so so here's literally someone that's working out, and along with this, you know, notion, hey, you don't have to do what she's doing in order to look like her. And so she's fit, and she's showing her stomach, and you know, so it's all these images that are used to promote these weight loss shots. Oh, you don't want to work out? Just pay us $300, and you can be skinny too. It's always the same bill of sale. You don't have to change what you eat, and the pounds will just melt off. So it the scary thing is that it's starting to work. But I think there's going to be something very, very bad that's going to come because of this. So regardless of whatever name that they're using, and they're going to change it a bunch of different times, basically what it is, it's called semaglutide. Semaglutide was originally designed to be a insulin regulator. And so it's for people with diabetes. And so then they came along. It's kind of like the creation of Viagra. You know, Viagra was originally intended to be a blood pressure medication, and then I guess people started coming back going, Doc, you won't believe the side effects of this thing. And so then they start marketing Viagra more for its side effect as opposed to being a blood pressure medication. So with semaglutide, you're not hungry, and so you don't eat, which is where we go back to the simple, calculus. Calories out versus calories in, you know, so CICO, calories in, calories out. So if you're doing that, but if you are eating poorly and you aren't eating nutrient dense food to begin with, you're going to start dropping all this weight, but you're still going to look unhealthy. I mean, if you eat 1,000 calories a day, but you get all those calories from ice cream, yes, you will absolutely lose weight, but your health will be terrible. And so again, I completely understand obesity is bad, but there's going to be more health risks with carrying excessive weight. But I'm still this where I want to say people like, mark my words, this is going to get dangerous. And so the reason why is because there's also research out there where test subjects were given 600 milligrams a week of what they call testosterone athenate. I may be mispronouncing that. In fact, I probably am. But for lack of a better term, it's steroids. Steroids are bad. But in the study that they did at 10 weeks, men who were given steroids who did not exercise had put on more muscle mass than the men who were not on the steroids who did exercise. And so it just real in, I mean, in bold font, this is where the research became hard to ignore. And all things being equal, a person cannot out-train, out-diet, or outperform steroids. And so this is where you start to understand why the Olympics are going through going, man, we can't have it. But eventually, and please don't do this. This is not me winking at the camera, you know, going, oh, don't do this. Someone's going to put together a program where they start taking semaglutide and steroids, but then they're also going to implement a solid diet. And then they're going to look fantastic, and it becomes an arms race where everyone is now going to try to do this in order to look at the way that they do. So steroids are bad. Semaglutide is bad. And so my fear is that people will go through and they'll get this fantastic body, but there will be no discipline required to attain it. And they'll go on social media and they'll get millions of dollars selling plans to people while not disclosing that they use steroids and semaglutide to improve their physique. Instead, they'll just come on and be like, oh, no, if you do this amount of push-ups per day, everything will be fine. So they're lying to people. And steroids have all sorts, I mean, twice the cardiovascular morbidity. Brain damage, you know, in a high enough level. So it's just, it's terrible. And so I'm afraid that people are going to go through and they're going to start putting this together. And so originally I would say, well, you can't buy a well-built physique. But I don't think in another few years, I'm afraid that that's not going to be true. And so I mention all this, and I know it sounds terrible, but so as I said, I'm going to talk about two bad things. And so the bad thing is that, you know, comparison being the thief of joy, and then the second thing being that the semaglutide and, you know, and steroids, it's all very dangerous. But now I want to go through, and I want to start to spin it on more of a positive level. And so I contend it's the difference between being given a car and buying one for yourself. You know, the one that you buy, you appreciate it. The harder it is to achieve something, the more we appreciate it. And so whenever I'm going through and I'm encouraging people to take up exercise and take up bodybuilding specifically, it's because it's going to go through and it's going to make you a better person. So, but it's difficult for people to do that because what I'm asking them to do is to embrace constructive misery. I'm going to torture you by putting you through this program, but, you know, it's going to go through and it's going to make you a better person. And so in doing this, I like being a positive person. I want to be a booster, but also at the same time, I want to be honest with people. And so I think a lot of times we learn as much from our failures, even more so. Sometimes we learn more from our failures than we do from our successes.
That's
and
very true.
So I want to go through, again, want to be honest with people. I want to explain a failure that I recently, you know, came across, but at the same time, I want to explain, you know, the technique. And so there's exercise and there's training. Absolutely nothing wrong with exercise. If I'm being 100% honest, it seems like these days I probably do more exercising than I do training. However, to a newbie, my exercise may feel like training to them because it's all relative. We're all in different stages in our journey. And so the reason why I say this is because, again, I have no end date. As I mentioned, Zac Efron, he spent 8 months developing this physique, and then he had to keep it for 6 weeks. Recently, The Rock returned to WWE. For one match at WrestleMania, he trained for 12 weeks. Actors in films, they know the day they're going to go through, they're going to take their shirt off. So they train to that day. Right now, I don't have a deadline. I don't have a wedding photo shoot to do. You know, I don't care about bikini season. So there's nothing to really keep me on task. And so going back to like what you said, am I ever going to look like Lou Ferrigno? No, because, man, I had a crumble cookie tonight after dinner, and it was fantastic. I mean, it is so great. And so if you're going through, you're eating clean most of the time, but if you're doing everything to the maximum of your ability every time, if you're maximally optimized, man, life is not fun. I mean, if you're not going through, if all you're eating is just boneless, skinless chicken breast and brown rice and broccoli, that gets old. And so sometimes you have to go through and indulge yourself. And so one of the hardest things that I think people need to understand is that when you're going through and you're doing this training, what I'm asking you to do is to fail. Fail over and over and over again. And I know a lot of people aren't comfortable with that failure. But when lifting, you need to be able to push yourself to the point of failure. So whether or not you want to lift heavy for a few reps or lighter, with, you know, lift lighter weights, but with more reps. I don't care whichever you want to do, but it's going to failure is the key. That's where the money is made. That's where growth occurs. So Is it better to lift heavy weights for fewer reps or lighter weights with more reps? And again, I know I've used this as a cop-out before in the past, but it's still the truth. The best exercise is the one that you do. So the question is, which do you like more? And whatever the answer is, do that. Now, personally, I advocate for lifting for lighter weights with more reps, but it's whatever you're more comfortable with. But either way, your lifting goal should always be the same. It's failure minus one, as long as you can maintain good form. If your form becomes compromised, you're better off reducing the weight and using a very strict form. So it's going through and it's pushing to that failure point. And that can be exhausting. So now let's go through and let's start incorporating. So the reason why I always advocate for bodybuilding being this life-changing experience, because we look around these days and, man, everyone is busy. We've all got certain stuff that we've got to do. We're all working. And, you know, if you've got stuff going on with the kids and trying to build your relationships and all this sort of stuff, there's only so much time. There's only so many hours in the day. And so whenever you go through and you start incorporating training into your system, other stuff that's maybe not so important kind of starts to fall away, because you don't want to compromise what you're going to do. So it's basically, hey, I'm not going to stay up out partying at the bars at 2 a.m. because I have to get up at 6 so I can go into the gym. I'm not going to stay up until, you know, 2 o'clock playing video games because I have to get up early because, you know, tomorrow is leg day. So you're really making the choice of what you want to go through and incorporate into your life. And so this is where my failure was. Every once in a while, you can burn the candle at both ends, and you quickly realize that you can't do it. So consistency is the key, especially when it comes to results. So some of the easiest changes you can make and see the largest return on your investment is sleep. So you realize the importance of 7 to 9 hours of sleep so your body can heal itself. And so I want you to imagine like a bucket, a stress bucket, and all the things that contribute to this. Again, you've got work, family, relationships, dieting, and your extracurricular activities all contribute to this. And so if you keep this level up for too long a time, your immune system can break down and you can end up getting sick. So for me personally, March was crazy. So first of all, I'm trying to eat in a caloric deficit in order to lose fat. So again, key distinction there. I'm not trying to lose weight, I'm trying to lose fat. But then I'm going back and I'm reviewing my notes from my cardio, and there was not a single day in March, and I kept the streak going on in April as well, where I didn't either go to the gym for a weightlifting session or go up and walk at my local track. I've been walking up the track after work because, you know, the weather is getting nice and my daughter is going with me, so that's really nice. It's a nice little time for us to go through. And even if we're just doing a mile or a mile and a half, I pushed her a little bit the other day. I said, yeah, hey, let's do 2 miles. And so it's just her and I walking, you know, real low impact, but, you know, just enough to get the heart going. And so we're going through and I'm doing that. I'm proud to announce that I finished the pros phase of my next novel. And so whenever you get, yeah, so it's still got a lot to do, a lot of editing to still do. But the sooner that you get closer to the end, that can become all consuming, you know, so it's like, so that's sapping my attention. So it's funny. So I'm dealing with the little bit of the ding that I've got in my abs, but then at the first of the month, I got a knot in my back because I was working with a saw, and, you know, it's anytime you do that slow, repetitive movement over and over again, you can develop that knot. And so I had to go through and get that knot out of my back. So every time that I would roll over in my sleep, it would disrupt my sleep. And so now here I'm experiencing the same thing 2 weeks later with this little, you know, dig in my abs, because I joke with the kids that I rotate like a rotisserie chicken while I'm sleeping. And so every time I go to move, that pain would hit, and, you know, so it would wake me up. And so I had lost sight of, because I don't have a coach. I do this all by myself. And so there was a couple of times here where within this range where I decided to do an all-out max lifts, go into failure. And I did it with a tricep pushdown machine, which the way that I went through and angled my body, it's really more of like a decline bench press. But because of the way the machine is done, I don't have to worry about getting the weight off of me. So it's a much safer way. And I mean, I ripped out that thing just as many as I could. And then I went through and I did that twice. So, but also at the same time, work is crazy. I'm doing stuff there. We've got a girl out on maternity leave. So it's just everything's coming at me from all these different angles. And then I went through and decided to do two max out lifts and then didn't understand, man, I'm exhausted and I couldn't figure out where it's all coming from. But I mean, and this is not me complaining. I'm enjoying all of it. I really enjoy my writing. I enjoy the work that I do. Thank goodness. I'm one of the few people that actually enjoy my 9-to-5 job. But then I go through and I'm eating at a caloric deficit, which means I don't have the energy that I should. And then I'm pushing my body to the absolute limit to the point where I was literally pushing until I couldn't get another rep, where you're sitting there and your arms are shaking and everything, you're pushing just as hard as you can. So this is where, so again, that's the reason why I wanted to emphasize to people right there at the beginning about how important failure is and pushing to that failure limit. You have to learn how to embrace that, but then also you have to learn to kind of do that at the right time, because if everything all goes through and it piles on top of you, that's where sometimes you just kind of have to take a step back. But in going through and doing all of this and studying it, I think that the quotes find me in order for me to come on here and talk with people. And so as I'm going through and I'm writing out my notes and the bullet points that I wanted to cover tonight, a couple weeks ago I found a quote which I thought was absolutely fantastic, and it certainly goes along with the sword and sandal theme that we have here. And so I have to go all the way back to the Roman Stoic philosopher from 1st century A.D. who taught philosophy in Rome during the time during the reign of Nero. And so his name is Gaius Musonius Rufus. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I believe that I am. I'm going to switch his quote up here just to put a little emphasis on here. But so Musonius Rufus said, "If you do something shameful in the pursuit of pleasure, the pleasure passes quickly, but the shame endures." But the more important part of the quote said, "If you accomplish something good with hard work, the labor passes quickly, but the good endures."
Wow.
That, to me, it really, it's such a wonderful motivation. We're all trying to become better people, I believe. I believe we're trying to advance society. I'm constantly trying to better myself. I'm trying to be better than the person that I was yesterday. And so when you go through and you start to encompass a program, you start to implement a program into your life to go through, man, bodybuilding, it's one of the hardest things you can do. As we talked about earlier, you know, life is often too short not to go without, you know, indulgences from now and then. But then you get back on the horse, you get back training. And so you're never going to look like that's not a way more harsher than I said. You're not going to look like Lou Ferrigno. I'm not going to look like Bobby Lashley. I know that, but I'm okay with it. And still, I'm inspired by them, and I want to be like them. But so it gives me almost, I think there's something about striving for that unattainable goal. I'm not going to get there, but boy, am I sure going to try, you know? And as a result, the desire to go through and be closer to that person, I ended up building up parts of myself which are much more important than just the physical. It's going through and finding a goal, smashing it, and then going past it. So I think if you can do that, again, if you accomplish something good with hard work, the labor passes quickly, but the good endures. And so to me, if that's the message that people take away from that, from this conversation tonight, which I'm afraid I kind of monopolized.
No. You said very many important things, and they are resonating with many things I've been thinking about lately, too. So you're a mind reader in addition to a bodybuilder and a kick-ass author.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, so we'll transcend, because I know we're kind of running out of time here. But to give people something, a different exercise that you may not have considered before. And so growing what they call the cap delts, I don't know where the term came from. It basically means big shoulders is essentially what they're looking for. So the shoulders have three different heads. And so you can do an upright row. Basically, it's you go through and you keep your – so say you have like an easy curl barbell, or you can do just a standard barbell if you want to. You can even do it with dumbbells. But essentially what you're doing is you're keeping your hands down by your wrist, and then you're raising the weight up towards your chest in an upright row. And so I've done this with a variety of different equipment, but then I think one of the neat things is trying to find a new and different way to go through and do an exercise, and you may find yourself targeting those muscles in a very different way. But in order to do this, what you'll need is a cable that you can go through and do a row on. So if your gym has any of these, especially one that has where you can change the angle of that cable, essentially what you do is you have a bench that you go through and you lay down on, and you're performing the exact same movement, the upright row, except you're doing it while you're laying on your back. And so by going through and doing this, essentially what you're doing is you're taking away all chance you have of using any sort of momentum. And then by going through and doing those lifts, you can feel the way it hits different in your shoulders. And so I always try to advise people, if your elbows are facing forward, then you're targeting the front part of your shoulders. If you're bent over and doing any sort of row that way or like a reverse fly, then you're going to target the back of your delts. But if your elbows are in the middle, then you're going to target that medial part of your delt. And so that's what that upright row does. So you're laying down flat on the bench with the anchor of the cable, roughly about groin height. Again, you're mindful that you don't want the cable to hit you where you don't want it to. But then you just go through and you perform that same upright row, removing all the momentum, so you can't really cheat, you can't really swing the weight too much, and I found that it just hits a little bit different. So if you're looking for a way to grow those shoulders, that's an absolutely fantastic exercise that people should try to put into their regimen.
That sounds awesome. My left shoulder, I injure it continuously throughout my life. So it's better than it's been, but it's still recovering. So I can only do exercise with 4 pounds on that shoulder. But that's what I do, and then I'll get to 5 pounds, then to 8 pounds, then to 10 to 12 pounds, and it'll be back up and running. But that's been something I've had my entire life. My left shoulder always
wants to build up. And I think that's one of the issues that I think a lot of people – will misunderstand about training the shoulder exercise is that it's not a whole lot of weight that you're putting in there. We all see it in the movies where, the bad guy comes along and he grabs the hero by the throat and he lifts him up in the air. Physics-wise, that's impossible because it would pull him over. The only person who could realistically do it would be Darth Vader. And that's only if he has magnets in his boots, which keeps him, flat on the floor of the metal deck. So, that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions, especially with shoulders. And that's where, again, that's where I'm going to advocate for lighter weight, higher reps. And that's where you'll go through and start to see real progress. Because what you'll find is that a lot of times you want to increase by 5 pounds, But if you were only doing 10-pound weights to begin with, I mean, to go through and increase it up to 15 or to go to 20 pounds and double the weight that you were doing before, it's a lot of strain on the shoulders. So especially, yeah, when doing shoulders, yeah, lighter weight and higher reps is definitely the way to go.
Michael DeRussi, who's the other host of Herculean Physique, just as you're younger than me by a bit, he's older than me by a bit, and he agrees with you 100% that, lighter weights, more reps is the way to go.
I just found that, since I work out by myself and I don't want to inconvenience someone for a spot, sometimes going through and doing those max lifts, they're good for you every once in a while, just to really see what you're capable of. But again, this is where, I mean, doing things like a max lift on a barbell bench press or max lift on a barbell squat, that can be very difficult because once things truly go to failure, you have to get out from underneath that weight. Deadlift, it's not as bad because you could just drop it, but still I've found that every time that I've gone through and lifted extremely heavy, that's where I'm most likely to have been hurt. And so for me, it's better to maintain that surgical form and use a lighter weight so that way I don't get hurt and it ends up putting me on the shelf for a few months.
I find I don't know if you believe in manifestation or not, you know, where you basically set your mind to something and it winds up happening.
Sure.
And I had an incident this week. I like doing exercise with hand grips for some resistance. I usually use it to warm up. So before I do the weights, I'll do exercises, isometrics, isotonics, calisthenics with the extra pressure from the hand grips. So I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if somebody did something like you had hand grips that were graduated in strength? And I imagined it very clearly. And then I had a feeling to go to Temu, which is one of these sites that sells inexpensive things. And somebody created a box set with seven different hand grips that went from 50 pounds to 350 pounds of pressure.
Wow.
So I ordered it. And if that works out, I'll order a second box. And this way I can do it with two hands at the same time, like I'm used to doing my exercises. So I'd never heard of that before. And I'm sure other people had, but I hadn't. And I just imagined it. And there it was, you know.
And there it is. Well,
there
good.
It is.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know if those work.
I definitely will. And alas, we're approaching the end of today's program. Ryan, you're amazing. And I'm very honored that we've been doing this journey together, and I consider you a friend. And I wish you success in all your endeavors, and I thank you for your generosity in sharing your journey. That's a very big thing.
You honor me. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you letting me come on here and talk. It's wonderful for my soul every time I get to talk to you.
I'm very glad, and thank you for your kind words. And I'm going to be starting forums where different people discuss like a particular topic. So let's say I'll do a forum on creatine monohydrate for everybody to share what they've learned and their experiences and so forth, or a particular style of working out. I know you're very busy, but if you're free on the days that we have the forums, I'd love to have you on board. So I'll send you more information as I solidify that. And how can people contact you?
Yeah. How you promote me on Facebook is probably the absolute best way to get in touch with me. I'm not on X or very many of the other social media sites. Facebook is probably where I'm the most active.
As am I. And it's fortunate that we encountered each other there, and I'm very grateful to Facebook. Well, thank you so much. We're down to our last minute. Thank you so very much, Ryan. Have a wonderful evening and the rest of your week. And I look forward to the next time we speak, be it on or off the air.
You too, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thanks to our wonderful audience for tuning in. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Ryan, and good night, everybody.
Thank you, sir.